My buddy Dan Riccio is here. He's figuring out the headphones, but the guy is the king of the Spro. I gotta admit, you brought me one. You're a good guy. Normally, the person who invites the person to come in studio gets the coffees.
Yeah.
But you were not great on the text, so I was trying to
drive, man. Driving
yeah,
to Toronto's
enough,
tough.
Fair enough. But yeah, all right, let's drink this Spro, because that's your thing.
We got the Spros, man.
You're the Spro guy.
Woodbridge is happy right now. I'm spreading the Spro love.
Let's have this right now. I'm never a Spro guy.
Spros are the best. It just gets you going in the morning. You can have a Spro after lunch.
I was going to say, you're a double
dinner.
Guy, too.
Yeah. I mean, well, that's what they give at Starbucks.
I can't wait to do the get the full coffee anxiety going here. This is a full shake. So, Dan, what are you doing?
So common misconception about espresso, actually.
Yeah?
It's got a lower caffeine intake than an actual, like, what I call Canadian coffee.
Yeah. See, I like that. See, this guy is a true paisa. He's the real deal. I just listened to a podcast on caffeine. Apparently, it's like not everyone's always afraid of being addicted to caffeine.
Yes,
and apparently, it's like got way more health benefits than it does have actual drawbacks. The biggest drawback is that it's got like a pretty long half-life, and so if you drink it late, it doesn't let your brain rest and sleep properly. Like you don't get into REM sleep the same. But in terms of the other stuff, when people are like, oh, I got to limit my coffee intake. And I've been like that too, right? Where you're like, oh, I got to wean off the coffee. It's like, no, it's actually shown that it can help reduce like certain cancers and Alzheimer's. And
man,
so,
I am sold. Because I drink six espresso a
day.
Dude,
I was the same way. I heard it and I went, I got to drink more coffee every day. I got to just start pumping this in me. Anyways, my boy Dan is here. We're drinking a Spro. I'm wearing a TFC jersey.
Oh, man. It's nice. Jonathan Osorio. It makes you feel like you're real, you're a real true TFC guy.
First of all, this is a good day. This was well-timed.
Oh,
we're in the TFC jersey because our producer, Mike Jose, he's a trivia guy. He, like, what do? You run a trivia? You run movie trivia, though, right? It's like...
No, general.
And you're the dungeon master of the trivia? Like,
okay, well, I'm not going to say dungeon master.
Yeah, because that's who you are.
It is in a basement, so I do kind of feel like...
It's not even at a bar?
No, it's a bar, but the bar's in a basement.
Oh, okay. God, I was like, that's so creepy. You're like at your mom's house?
Yeah, basement bar trivia. I don't know about this.
Two of your buddies? It's trivia night. Yeah, okay, so you run trivia at a bar.
Yeah.
I got invited to an event at... The Brazen Head, which for those of you TFC fans, is the heart of TFC fandom. Got invited to this event. It was free drinks, and I went with our buddy Sam McKee, and he went too. And thanks to Neil Jolly for inviting us. And I'm like, yeah, I want to go. I'll go check it out, and seems fun. But he's like, it's trivia, soccer trivia, and I go, I'm not going to participate in this. I just can't. I can't contribute. I'm not a soccer guy.
Yeah.
I'm not a soccer guy. I'm just going to hang out by the bar once I arrive. We show up fashionably late, right? I think the event started at 6. We showed up at like 6:45.
Wow. Classy guys.
We get in the elevator, and the people that are waiting downstairs for us go, all right, they're waiting for you. And we're like, wait, what? We open up the doors, and... It's full trivia time. There's just tables, okay? It's only tables with the numbers at them like a wedding. Like, you can see the deal. And there's the food. They're like, grab a drink. The trivia is about to begin. You're on this team. And I am devastated. I'm Hunter S. Thompson in Fear of Las Vegas. I was right in the heart of the reptiles. There's soccer fans and they go, we're going to be playing for all these prizes and please sit down. So I'm introducing myself to the people at the table. You know, I got McKee there.
There is an immense amount of pressure when you're a sports talk radio host good at trivia. Yeah.
That's the thing. There's people coming over. They're like, oh, the sports guys are here. And I'm just sweating buckets. Like, oh my God, no. Oh my God. And I am genuinely thinking I will get zero of these right. And there's a trivia, a Mike Jose, a dungeon master, who's sitting to the right of us. And the guy who invited me, Neil, goes, this guy made all the questions and he made them hard. And it's for Leagues Cup. It was for Leagues Cup event. It was like a promo thing for them. So I'm like, great.
This is lovely. Tough trivia.
Three rounds, 30 questions.
Tough soccer trivia. This is not good for JD.
Except.
Ooh.
Guess who's wearing a signed Jonathan Osorio jersey right now? Guess who? No word of a lie. This is not even a slight exaggeration. I was our team's MVP.
Let's go.
I rode the boat for the team, okay? And I will say, granted, some of the questions were like, hey, TFC's slogan or motto is derived from what book? You know? So we were doing... There were some questions like that, but we were rowing. And the best part was, first place was tickets to TFC.
Yeah.
Where? No offense, but like, feel like I can get those.
Yeah.
And second prize out of this group, there was probably like, I don't know, 9 tables.
Yep.
And second prize was signed jerseys by the team. And I grabbed this Osorio jersey.
Amazing.
Signed. I was feeling good. So I'd like to say that I dominated Mike's thing, trivia, and your thing, TFC soccer. I am the new, if there's ever any doubt that I am a soccer guy, let it be known that I am the owner of a jersey that is signed by a Canadian national team member, a TFC member, and that I was the captain of our team winning soccer trivia. That's right.
No, I got questions though. Like, did you get a drone-esque peek at the trivia questions early so you could get in a little Google search?
I swear to God, I swear on a stack of Bibles, my mother's eyes, I didn't once peek at anything. I had no idea about genuinely any of the questions whatsoever.
I believe you more than John Herdman or Beth Priestman.
There was just, it was kind of perfectly tailored for a guy like me who works in sports, who knows enough around the periphery to get it. Like they're like, you know, what international player sold the most TFC jersey? Like Jermaine Defoe, right?
Yeah.
The bloody big deal. It comes up so you remember stuff like that. But and then some kind of basic deduction stuff where you go, who sells the most jerseys right now for the team? And I'm like, I think Bernadeschi is more popular.
Yeah.
So just kind of right in that sweet spot, right?
These aren't the hardest questions.
No, they weren't.
Like, who told you they were difficult questions?
The only questions that were tough was when they were like, and you'll love this one. The guy has one where they go, how many goals did TFC need in regulation time to qualify for the next round of the League Cup? And we were guessing, and we were like at the table, and we're like, it's going to be 0 goals. So I was like, always soccer, 0. And it was 0. It was so perfect. That's what I'm saying, the deduction. So yeah, soccer guy.
Wow. Wearing the jersey. I love the forced Leagues Cup jersey or questions given that.
Yeah, yeah.
MLS people don't like Leagues Cup.
So McKee got one of our answers, which was they said, who's the leading scorer in, this is a trivia question for you now. Who is the number one leading scorer in League Cup history?
In League Cup history?
Yeah, McKee got this.
Oh, man. How would I know this? This is like, it's like 2 years of existence.
That's the point.
Yeah.
That's actually why you should get it.
No.
It's messy.
Oh, yeah. Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah, see? Us, the trivia guys.
Is McKee a soccer guy at all? Like, how is he doing out there?
McKee is like all in on Red Patch Boys in Canada soccer.
Yeah, except for that was the thing that I was choked about was that I was rolling the boat. He got some. Like, he got the messy one. So he was... We were definitely...
Couple apples for McKee there.
We were 100% our top two contributors at the table, which was clutch because any other situation would have genuinely been embarrassing.
Yeah.
Like... It doesn't matter. You can't explain to people going, and especially when you're in a TFC bar and you're surrounded by like people all in TFC stuff going like, I only watch TFC. That's not a great way to put yourself forward in this place. Me teasing Danny about TFC is kind of fun. Me teasing people who work for TFC about TFC, not good.
Not great.
Yeah. They're not like, do you think our product sucks? Tell us more, funny guy, chuckles, drink up on our free dime.
Here's the thing, too. There might be some stories from your other teammates about you today. Like, this sports media guy, JD Bunkus, he was firing on all cylinders. He got to sign jerseys.
I will say this.
Pretty good.
Everybody on our team had a moment, which was clutch. Everybody on our team had a moment. So credit to the entire team.
Contributors throughout the lineup. It's always key in a winning scenario.
I did. Although, you know what? McKee, greasy move. So I got the Osorio.
Yeah.
One of the categories was what the colors are. And it's not cobalt. It's onyx.
Right.
I'm wearing the onyx jersey. Greasy McKee jumps in first, despite not being MVP, doesn't cede to the MVP, grabs the white jersey, which is clearly nicer of the two kits. Like, this is fine. But
that's a sharp kit.
You think so?
Yeah, it's a sharp kick.
You're a fan of this one?
It's the nice silver star above the above the crest.
Yeah, that's nice. But yeah, so I was like, you should give me my choice for it. He didn't do it.
I will say my biggest problem in trivia, and I did this like in school as well, like whenever there was a multiple choice test, I'm the guy that's like, this is the most obvious answer. It can't be the most obvious answer.
Yeah, no, I know.
I'm absolutely that guy.
So one of the questions we got wrong was Jonathan Osorio's name apparently actually translates to Hunter of Wolves.
Yeah.
But they said, is it true or false? And I went, well, Oso is bear. I'm like, isn't Oso like Oso? Like, that's bear. And I usually think of wolf as like loop, you know, like.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I went, no, it can't be. But my brain just sat there going, what a random, like, how could this not be true? But I still put down false because I'm like, I'm big brain in this. I know about Oso. I've heard that before. And so we got it wrong. And I'm like, damn, I should have. You got to go with that. Whenever the question is too hyper-specific, you're like, yeah, that's true. That's no one's smart enough to come up with that. No one's smart enough to think Jonathan Osorio's name means wolf hunter. So, yeah, that was it. Yo, I got one TFC question for you before we do Canada soccer stuff. So, Herdman's the coach.
Yes.
I can't imagine. How long does this go on?
For as much as there's been a big uproar about this.
No, I get it. It's
like, I don't think John Herdman loses his job over this.
Really? I just think he's hated now in the country. Like, every single time you're going to trot him out there.
Yeah.
What was Bill Manning, right? The guy that got fired?
Yeah.
Last time I went to a TFC game a match. Sorry, yes. I'm a soccer guy now. Last time I went to a match.
Yeah. TFC match.
People were calling for Manning's job in the stands.
Yeah.
I don't know how the Red Patch Boys, the actual diehard fan base is feeling about it, even though, again, now I am the representative of TFC at this station, at Sportsnet, some would say. But I hate his guts. I don't want to see him be the coach. Like, every time I see you, I'm going to be thinking about how you ran a cheating campaign that diminished the way that we're going to look at that gold medal from the last Olympics. That's going to diminish some of the accomplishments of this Canadian national team. Like, it's a tough one to be there as just like a standing representative of a scandal.
Yeah, it's a difference between like how people view this in Europe and how we are treating it here, where it's like, oh my God, how could you possibly do this?
Yeah,
this
your is league awful. In Italy, they're like, what, you weren't cheating? Well, you're fired. How could you not cheat?
So Marcelo Bielsa, who was the coach for Uruguay, who faced Canada in the Copa America third place match, you know, he got caught while in the Premier League, you know, sending random interns, I think it was, to like opposing teams' training sessions, strapping a camcorder on their chest and be like, we'll get some grainy footage and figure this out, you know?
Body cam cheater, love it.
And there's a lot of that in soccer. Mm-hmm. So, and guys have recovered from it. That's why I think like there's a chance Herdman does recover from this. Now, the way that he sold it after he first spoke, probably not great. So there may be consequences. I don't know if it's just, hey, this is such a big story and people have such strong feelings about it here in Canada that we can't go on with this relationship. Mm-hmm. But people have recovered from getting caught spying in soccer before.
Yeah, again, that makes sense to me.
Bill Belichick recovered from it. He's still considered the greatest coach of all time. It's how much did Spygate really diminish his reputation as the greatest coach in NFL history?
Yeah, I would say a bit, because you bring it up all the time.
Yeah.
Like, it is the thing that you mentioned with Bill Belichick. The difference is that he was racking up Super Bowl wins in the NFL, and then he continued to win and win and win, and it became pretty undeniable. John Herdman is now coaching a TFC team that lost to Forge FC, where the budget was something like Forge FC's entire team cost less than $2 million.
Yeah.
And TFC, I think, is somewhere in the $14 million range.
Yeah. Yeah.
So pretty embarrassing. Pretty embarrassing stuff. I actually
Herdman also had teams punching above their weight forever, really.
All right. Hey, I'm not questioning his entirety of his legacy. I'm just saying right now on TFC, they're bringing in a new president. They just hired him.
Yeah.
The team is in the complete doldrums to the point where, man, this actually feels right now, their level of irrelevancy in the city is pretty damn near close to what it used to be when you were living in Toronto before the championship seasons.
Yeah.
When it was like, hey, are you aware that TFC is the most losing franchise in North American sports history in terms of just can't cobble wins together? Yeah. You go to their games and their fans, the true fans, are still going to be there and they represent the team well. But I think that there's a pretty deep frustration even amongst them. That poor photo of Molinaro by himself at that exit media conference last year, that's kind of representative of what this team is right now in the city, where it's like one guy goes and asks questions at the exit interview.
Yeah.
One guy in the entire city of Toronto, millions of people in a soccer-starved city. Like, you guys saw the bars during Europa, right? And Euro. People here, they like soccer. Yep. They like football, okay? For those of you that get triggered when I call it.
Everybody's like that. You know, it's like I've always said in Canada and in even the U.S., it's like if you could get all the soccer fans to support their own product rather than every other product. I mean, it would be up there with the most popular leagues in North America, but
that's
not the case.
You can't get people to buy in when you lose to Forge FC.
Exactly. And the biggest problem for MLS is like, why would you be anything more than a bandwagon fan? Their regular season means absolutely nothing. More than half the league makes the playoffs.
Yeah.
You know, you play 34 games. Yeah. People only care when Lionel Messi's in town or one of the big stars that come through. And otherwise, it's like, oh, we made the playoffs. I'm in.
Yeah.
You know, and that's how people get on board when, you know, those years you mentioned, it was Jermaine Defoe got people excited. It blew up in their face. They restructured, went for Sebastian Giovinco, and that
was awesome.
Again, got people excited. And he was the best player almost the league had ever seen when he showed up to TFC at
the time.
Still
my favorite photo of me ever. Me and Giovinco. Me and a professional athlete standing side by side.
Yeah. It's like, that's why you like me and Giovinco, because it's two guys you're actually taller than. So
great. I was wearing boots the day I met Giovinco, too. It's so sick, that picture. I don't know why that's not my dating profile pic. That should be like number one at the very top. Yeah. Like, how tall is this guy?
But like, why would you care about MLS outside of like jumping on the bandwagon for a playoff run?
Yeah. No. But here's the thing is, you know me, I'm like, I got a lot of civic pride when it comes to sports. I've jumped on the Argos bandwagon, but you know why? Because the product last year was awesome. Watching Chad Kelly sling the rock, and you go down to the game, and the affordability, too, of it, I think, is something that really did it for me with the Argos, where I went, wait, I can get a $20 ticket and sit in a good seat and watch high-caliber football. That was fun. They were such a juggernaut last year, too. It was the same thing with the Giovinco year, where the team was so dominant and so good that it was an entertaining buy, an entertaining product to go. But, yeah, I think it's going to take a little bit more, like, another championship run for this brand to recover, because I feel like they had a moment where it was really okay. They're sort of the gold standard of MLS. What was the guy's name that came in here and built that team?
Bezbachenko. He's like the greatest GM he's the MLS version of Alex Anthopoulos. Except he actually,
so we let all the good guys go. Watch Kyle Dubas go be good now.
Yeah.
No.
Guess what? Dubas has already made a mess of that Pittsburgh thing. So
I saw a little video of him and Spezza taking notes together at that junior tournament. I was like, oh, yeah, what are you guys doodling? Oh, this guy's pretty good. All right, sure, you're sure. Okay, moving on. So Canada Soccer, the women's team, obviously they get docked the points. They still move on.
Yeah.
They still move on. They have, what was it, 2 minutes left in added time?
Yeah.
Where they score that goal? That's going to go down. That's going to go down, I think, as sort of a all-time missed moment to me, because I think a lot of people checked out on the women's team in the scandal. Once they got docked the 6 points, it was like, well, what's the point of even following this team now that they're out of it? And now, to
I've never been more invested.
Oh, that's what I'm saying. I'm not going to... It's close. I cannot believe how close it is between the women's soccer team and the Canadian men's basketball team in terms of my level of investment. Like, and to put that into context, I've been waiting my entire life as a sports fan for this Canadian basketball team. Like, all 37 years of my existence have been, I hope that this happens. Yeah. I hope that I get to see the Canadian basketball team play like... And here we are, you know, here we finally are. And this women's team now has grabbed me in a way where I'm like, whoo, if they were head to head.
Yeah.
I don't know who gets the big screen.
Yeah.
This has got to be the most, I hope people are jumping on the bandwagon. I think people kind of are. What's your guys' read on this in terms of like the level of Canadian sports fan interest in the women's team now that we have actually advanced? Because them actually winning a gold now, should they be able to do this? That to me is where you go. You remove all doubt. of anything cheating being related. It becomes the Tom Brady Super Bowl with Tampa Bay, where it's like the ultimate middle finger to everyone, the league, the officials, the doubters. Like, that stake of being able to put down the back-to-back gold that way under these circumstances, I don't know. That this feels as rich a stakes to me as it can possibly get.
It's like I said, I've never been more invested.
Yeah.
You know, and I think going into this tournament, before the scandal even, people were like lukewarm on the Canadian team. It was like, no more Christine Sinclair. We're not a favorite to win or anything. It's just like, okay, happy to be here. Let's see how we defend our gold medal. Then the scandal breaks. People are kind of out, but it heightens the story to bring in more casual fans. Yeah. Like the old mom test, like my mom's asking me about what's this scandal that's going on with the Canada soccer team. And it's created, I think, a bigger influence, a bigger microscope on what they're doing. And then you watch the way that they play, and they could have easily given up. They weren't favorite to win the group. They win all three matches in the group, beating the hosts, beating, you know, like all of these things. And you see a team that's just everything that we love about being Canadian, right? Just super gritty,
tough,
hardworking, tough, not taking no for an answer. It's just like everything you love about being Canadian is embodied in this team. And that's why I'm so in love with it right now.
I love this team. Like, you guys both, you know, because I haven't been a big Olympics guy. I'm not. Like, I've been on the record about this. I'm just not a summer Olympics guy. I don't care about gymnastics. I don't care about swimming. I don't care about the shooting memes. Like, none of it does anything for me.
The meme is pretty funny, though.
Yeah, the meme is amazing. And I will say this.
The hand in his pocket. It's just like such an elite play.
And I got to tell you, I do want to shoot those guns. I'm very interested. If they were like, go shoot those guns, I would be there in a heartbeat. But overall, I'm really moved by two things, which is the men's basketball and the women's soccer.
Yeah.
Everything outside of that. And call me when it's the 100-meter dash, and I'm going to watch that, the running events.
Yep.
But outside of that, like, I
they're
can't pretend.
They're not dialing into discus.
No, and I'm like, Summer McIntosh, for example, I'm incredibly proud of her accomplishments. I'm, you know, blown away by her breaking records. Like, I acknowledge it. I'm not ever going to diminish these accomplishments. They're outrageously cool. It's just, for me personally, it's not something that in the middle of my day I want to dial into. I do watch a bit of the volleyball because I grew up playing volleyball, so I can understand the sport a little bit more, where I enjoy watching it. I can appreciate the plays, but I also am not, that's only something that when I do turn on the TV and the volleyball's on.
You're not searching it out.
Yeah, exactly. I'm not like, what time is the volleyball, right? The Jays play at 1 o'clock, right? If they have a 1 o'clock game and I got to watch their bullpen full of me, I'll watch that over any Olympics
outside
the sun.
That's not a real person.
Yeah,
no, exactly. He's in the Blue Jays bullpen.
Like, Ryan Burr. I'm like, I'll watch this, baby. Come on, Burr. Anyway, you guys in? You
yeah, in? And this is like purely anecdotal, but like on the TV side of things here at Sportsnet, like the women's soccer team is what most of the people down there are talking about on a night to night. Like, coming in, people are getting up to date on what the latest is, and people, like, the buy-in in terms of the support down there is
huge.
Absolutely huge.
Yeah.
And I mean, I just love that. Like, everybody in sports always talks about the whole, like, us against the world mentality.
Yeah.
That locker room has got to be it is the most us against the world mentality that I've ever seen. It's so cool and, like, just fun to cheer for.
Yeah.
The Olympics does bring you to a place where you'll pick up on something that I didn't normally do. Like the women's rugby team that won silver. Yeah. And it was like, I'm tuning in for the gold medal game. Like, oh my God, we got a lead at half over New Zealand. This is big. And then it like immediately gets
gone.
Crushed.
Yeah. It's gone.
And it's gone. But like, you know, there's those moments where you just like flipping through channels and it's like, okay, I'll watch the Olympics and hey, there's a medal won. Yeah. Those are kind of cool. But yeah, I'm partial to the sports that I like and I watch on the regular. So I'm going to tune in for a little bit of tennis.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm going to tune in for golf, especially if the Canadians are doing well there. That's just kind of how I am. And, you know, the soccer, I mean, most of my Summer Olympic memories are the women's team over the last decade.
Oh,
plus.
No question. Right. Yeah, no, absolutely no question. So the quarterfinal tomorrow against Germany at 1 o'clock Eastern time.
Really? Battle of the last two gold medalists.
That's huge. I was just going to say, what's the betting line? Somebody find that for me. Jose, grab that one. Hey, trivia this. Give me a betting line. Anyways, let's take a quick break. Let's come back, and then we'll hit a little what we missed with Reach.
Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
All right, Dan Riccio's here, afternoon drive host, Sportsnet 650 in Vancouver. I forgot to do this, so we're going to do it before what we missed, but I didn't watch the Hall of Fame game yesterday because I was at that soccer trivia dominating, being an MVP, carrying my team to sweet, sweet signed Jonathan Osorio jerseys.
Yeah. With those super difficult questions.
I mean, I finished second in the heart of the reptile zoo, the Black Sheep Bar, like TFC headquarters. And I won. Yeah. So I don't know. You know, you can try to diminish me as much as you want.
The haters are coming for you, Jody.
I only see one LeBaron, Freddie, and that's me wearing this TFC jersey. Okay, so I didn't see the Hall of Fame game, but I did see the highlights of the new kickoff. And I have some thoughts. And did you see it?
Yeah.
Okay. It looks like the most stupid thing on earth, and I hate it.
Yes.
But? When I really think about it, I actually think this is going to be a kind of a win for football. Here's why. One, you're not going to have those same collisions where guys do get those horrific injuries. And frankly, as entertaining as some of them are, like, let's just call a spade, like sometimes the huge hits and the guys getting blocked, it's fun to see that. Like, these guys know the risk now. I've said this a billion times, but my issue with concussions and football injuries was never, hey, none of this should ever happen. It was that the player should be aware of the risks you're taking. I don't care if you smoke cigarettes, but I need them to put the warning label on the pack so you know what you're getting into. I can't have you cover that up. But if you're getting paid millions of dollars or hundreds of thousands of dollars to play NFL football, live out your childhood dream, and there's a extremely big injury risk, I got zero issue when you decide to strap the pads on and go out there as a grown-ass adult.
Yes.
So I think that we are a little too pearl clutchy with some of the like reducing injury stuff in the game. I think that if you ever hear Tom Brady speak on it, I go, yeah, I'm really aligned with this guy. He has awesome thoughts about like making defense no fun and how difficult it is for these guys to play the position. I hate some of the rules they've put in place for hits, for example, right? Like, how many times you watch an NFL game and they go, that's a dirty tackle or that's an illegal hit now. And you go, that's just a good, clean, hard hit. Yeah. Not allowed to hit hard anymore over the middle. This one, I'm going, you are going to reduce these high impact murder plays, right? Go watch Troy Polamalu at USC. You're going to watch those, him being the gunner 15 years from now and going, oh, so this guy, this is O.J. Simpson, right? Like, this is the murderer that we...
He's like no. Torpedoed himself.
Dude, and people, guys, staring
just
up at the sky. Supermaned
everybody,
and he's just destroying dudes. So, one, I do think that this one actually is going to be tangibly safe. But two is, I think it is going to result in more kick return TDs.
Yes.
Because there's no, like, layers to the coverage. When you're looking at it, if guys can break through basically, like, two layers of the defense, I think that the kick returner is going to have an advantage to start out of the gate. So we're going to have some like fun kick return TDs. The question is going to be, how do they adjust to it? But then also, does it feel fun? Or do we start to look at it and go, wait, Devin Hester felt special.
Yeah. Right.
Now if guys are constantly returning these things and they feel, you know, when you're in fantasy sports league and you've got like a defense, right? And you lose to a team where the defense gets 36 points because they cleaned up on some crap team. They get a couple lucky defensive touchdowns. And you feel like robbed because it's not the spirit of the game you're playing that the defense beats you by 30 points in fantasy.
Yeah.
I kind of feel like if it does go the way I'm predicting, that football fans don't love the idea of you lost because the other team got two kick returns because the coverage is weird.
They just created a play or brought back a play that actually meant something in the game versus... Mm-hmm. What we've had recently, where it's just like everything is a touchback. It's just like a nothing play. You could go grab a beer and then come back and get ready for the next drive if you were at the game, whatever. Now you have that chance to create an amazing play, to create stars again, because Devin Hester was a star just
superstar.
Because he returned kicks all the time. And I also know early in the season, I'm going to be betting a lot of overs on the kick return.
Yeah, there you go.
Kick return yardage.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be there. Like, it'll be interesting to see people try to figure it out. Cause you can probably do some interesting stuff like with blocking or pull guys over to certain sides if a kick's on a certain side. Like, it'll be interesting to see like how kind of special teams coaches like actually like handle it. I will say, as a fan of a team who's like number one best play ever is an onside kick in the Saints.
Yeah, I know.
I'm kind of
I hate it.
Cheese that there's literally
no, good,
but I mean, onside kicks never work anyway. So
but I always thought that the league should have to figure out a way that is better than the onside kick in terms of trying to be able to recover the football.
Sure.
Yeah. Because I think that it would be so good for the sport if, yeah, you had to have a 4th and 25.
Yeah, what the, you know, some leagues do that, right? Like, yeah, the 4th and 20 or whatever.
Some play that gave you a feeling of hope.
If you're down 2 scores
at the
late,
end of a game, yeah, that you could do that thing. And because, yeah, you're right, the onside kick now feels so completely hopeless. You're never thinking,
never gonna happen.
We're going to recover this. Yeah. And especially since now, it used to kind of work back in the day when guys weren't all superstar hands team, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Where they would have some bozo that would touch the ball and you'd be like, oh my God, that idiot backup tight end touched the ball.
Yeah, you kick it into a fullback's gut.
Right, exactly. And they gave a shot at it. Now it's all superstar, you know, five-star recruit receivers that are back there waiting to fall on it and recover it. So yeah, no, I think that they could actually use a rule change there. But the other thought I had too is, did the Hall of Fame game sneak up on you the way that it did to us?
It always does every single year.
Oh, see, I usually am like really looking, I shouldn't say really looking forward to it as in the Hall of Fame game, but I look forward to it as a marker on the calendar of being like, holy crap.
Football's here.
You know, football is returning and now I'm paying attention to storylines and who's gone where and who's doing what. And I don't know if it's because of Olympics. I don't know if it's because the preseason feels so much worse now in football where you go, the teams care less and less. They're terrified of the injuries, even though we know it's having a deleterious effect on the actual gameplay.
Yeah.
When, to start the season, every year we have the same conversations where coaches go, yeah, it's actually pretty important for us to practice and use these preseason games. They're there. They actually have a function, but we don't take advantage of it. You can get hurt in any single way. We don't do it. The play seems sloppy. And it doesn't feel until, like, what, week 6, 7 before you're starting to get, like, real results from teams. Anyway, I just...
It was a combination of Euro, Copa America, and like our
that we've
sports,
had sports.
Yeah, our sports minds were occupied for a long time this summer going into this. Whereas I guess most years you don't have that, right?
Yeah,
especially from a Canadian perspective, to have the Canadian men's national team give us something through July to really focus on and watch and pay attention to and be invested in. We don't usually have that unless it's the Blue Jays.
I've done no football segment so far, and I view myself as the football show on the Fan.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think that tells you something. But also the other part of it too is we haven't really had any Jays dog days because it's been deadline talk.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's been such a pivotal deadline and there's been so many strong opinions on what the Jays should be doing that it also ate up a bunch of the time in terms of the way that, you know, we were consuming content or coming up with content for us leading into football. So yeah, it's probably, here's what I would guess is that, you know, in Lubbock, Texas, it didn't sneak up on them.
Here
in Toronto, Ontario, just snuck up pretty easy. All right,
Even in Vancouver, we usually focus on the Seahawks quite a bit going into training camp.
It's the only thing I like about Vancouver.
And then we kind of get into more of it, but this year was a lot of Canadian men's national team.
All right, let's do it. Let's do what we missed.
All right. This one is kind of hits close to me. I'm a big...
the Dungeon Master speaks.
All right, what is this? What are we doing?
Oh, Dungeon Master. What do we do? What's the topic?
Okay, I'm a big public pool guy, so this story hits close to
big
home.
Big public pool guy.
I don't know if you want to be telling people that.
That's like,
I just thought about It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. Trash. That's
I look forward to those pools opening
every
summer.
Broken glass in the pool. You're playing the greased up watermelon game with Frank. But yeah,
I frequent Splashworks at Canada's Wonderland.
Yeah, okay, so go on, public pool guy, whatever that means.
All right. Katie Ledecky sat down with comedian Leslie Jones, and she was basically asked point blank, what do you think of peeing in the pool?
Yeah.
She said, I would never pee in the pool, and I try not to think about this. But she can't speak for the other Olympians. What do you think of peeing in the pool?
I got to say, number one is that if you are an Olympian, I think you have to say you're not peeing in the pool.
Oh, yeah.
I think you, because you're there, you're a professional, you know? You're a professional. You got to be a pro. You can't be like, I love peeing in the pool.
You can't be advocating for peeing in the pool.
That said, I'm a pool peer. I pee in pools.
Ew.
You invite me to your pool, it's getting some pee in it. It's non-consequential. I think I've peed in just about every pool I've ever been in. I'm not getting out. The only way that I won't pee in the pool is if I'm out and I have to pee. And then I'm like, oh, okay, I'm not going to jump back in and pee. I think that's kind of like a war criminal move. But if you're just swimming around and you're like, you're waiting and you're in there, it's like, you got to pee in that pool, baby. Like,
is there not like the
dye? No, I think that's a myth.
Is the dye a myth?
I think the dye is like,
real.
Yeah, I think the dye is out there as like, don't do it. And it's a fake threat.
I'm the complete opposite. I would never pee in the pool. This is why I don't like public pools, because I'm terrified of all the people.
No, I'm saying I'll pee in your pool. You ever have a pool, I'm peeing in it. I'm not ashamed.
I'll pee in the ocean, but I won't pee in the pool.
Well, duh, you'll pee in the ocean in a lake.
I'm peeing
in an ocean in a lake. Like, that's if you won't do that, I actually think you gotta be examined.
Yeah.
Like, there's no dude, peeing in a lake, like either standing outside of the lake and peeing into it.
Yes.
Or being in the lake and peeing. That's one of life's great joys.
Yeah. That's how you know summer's here in Canada.
Yeah, there's no better pee. The only better pee is like putting out a fire pee, where you get to play fireman at the end of the night. And the fire needs to be put out. You got to put out the embers. That's if I had to rank the pees, that's got to be number one pee. You know? Everyone's silent. Like,
that's enough.
No one wanted that. All right, no more pee time.
The worst is when you see someone swim away from you and you know what they're doing.
Yeah.
No, I always swim to you.
Oh,
yeah.
You're just a savage human being.
Yeah.
I never want to go to a pool with you.
Yeah, well, I'm going to show up at your public pool now. Let's see. Yeah, no, I'm sure.
Mr. Public Pool.
I like
guy.
Mr. Public Pool. He's like, oh, yeah, I don't do it. It's like, sucker, you're the only one. Anyway.
That's probably true.
Yeah, I know. I was going to say, like, you're just an idiot. Anyways, what's next?
All right. So you're single and you're outnumbered here today. Yeah. You usually dunk on me for this, but Simone Biles' husband, DB
dunk
for
on
the
you
Bears.
For what? I dunked on you one time because you're a coward and you bent the knee to your girlfriend for the dumbest reason ever. But anyways, go on.
Okay, you know what? Whatever.
Yeah.
DB for the Bears, Jonathan Owens, he's gone viral when Simone Biles was doing her performance. He was seen taking notes in the stands on it. So I was curious, as a single guy, do you have any dating advice?
Well, no. This is, I think, a good one for everybody in here, because we'll do the married.
I want to know you first, though.
Dating advice is different, though, than this guy's
married,
right?
Advice, yeah.
Is this guy married to Simone Biles?
Yeah. Married.
So then, he's doing happy wife, happy life, right?
Yes.
Like, these, like, look how invested I am, baby. I'm taking notes. If I was her, though, I'd be like, let's see the notes after. Like, what did you write? I'm Simone Biles. You got notes on me? Like, okay.
What notes do you have on the greatest gymnast
of all
time?
Like, the note better be, way to go, babe.
Yeah. Tight backflip.
Yeah,
that was
way
sick.
To go. 10 out of 10, all moves. Like, what?
I would give you the gold as well.
Yeah. I actually think him taking the notes is kind of, it's a little too try-hardy.
Yeah.
It's actually kind of him. This is a bit of a hot take. I think he is kind of stealing her shine by being, just be there, just be supportive. You're supposed to be wallpaper.
Yeah.
You're not supposed to be taking notes and getting camera time. You're supposed to be there and looking intently. That's your number one goal if you're, I think, the partner of an athlete at the Olympics, is when they show you on camera, you look like the number one cheerleader.
Yeah.
You're wearing all the gear and you're cheering loudly and you're hyper-focused or you're doing the, like,
you're either stressed or you're
stressed,
cheering.
Stressed or cheering face is the only way that you could go. Dating advice is pretty vague. I would say that it's very different, you know, like you're dating in the city. I think my number one dating advice in terms of people who are single is not to, I hate saying waste time, but once you know that that person's not doing it, like, I think people date out of boredom or that they date out of comfort and they go like, oh, well, you know, maybe this, if you have to like talk yourself into the person, just, you know, bail, get out. You worry about people's feelings, and I don't think that you need to be rude. You know, you don't need to ghost. You don't need to be a jerk about it. But I think you can just say like, hey, this isn't really working out for me. I'm sorry. And once that happens, it's way better than the other result, which is that down the line, all of a sudden, now you are becoming like a jerk because you're passive aggressively not wanting to see that person.
Yeah.
So I think, my number one dating advice in the city is know when to get out. And especially if you're a guy, because man, dating in the city is expensive.
Yes.
Right? Like, you're racking up checks. If you aren't feeling it with somebody or you're not getting that energy match back.
What are you waiting for?
Yeah. You can't keep, honestly, too expensive. Like, you got
to
get
out. Guys have to pay.
Yeah. What?
Yeah. Do guys have to pay? Yeah, is that a thing still?
Yeah, sorry, Jay-Z, but yes.
Yeah,
okay.
Still very much a thing, especially early on. Yeah.
Yeah, I would say that, you know, if you're a man and you have any pride, you'll pay.
Yeah.
So I, like, you know,
it's,
don't worry about it is what I'm saying to you. Anyway.
It's one of those things like, have like grow a pair and, yeah. and end it if you know that it's not for you. Yeah. And don't do this like coward thing of ghosting. And I think that goes on either side of it.
I think we are way too much
of like beating around the bush in life in general. Like
we're
just
terrified of conflict.
Yes, we are terrified of conflict. Yeah. Just tell people straight and like if they hate you for it, they hate you for it. What are you gonna do
100%.
About it? Yeah. Well, you know, I respect people that tell me and give me honest criticism or anything to that effect about how I am and how I act. So I would feel the same way in that type of thing. I mean, I've been with the same person forever, but the old go-to advice is like, if you're really into somebody, take them out on a nice date, go to a nice restaurant, wear your fanciest shirt, look great, wear a good shirt, and
put the effort in,
and they will, you know, I mean, hopefully they'll see that you put the effort
don't,
in.
Don't do the half measures thing.
And
where
appreciate
you're just,
that. Yeah,
where you're just like, oh yeah, well, I guess I'll do this. Like if you're doing it out of boredom and not genuine excitement, I just think that that's going to not really lead to anything overly positive for you.
Maybe
some people get lucky, but I don't think so. From my personal experiences of dating for a while, like, that the dates I go on where I'm like, I guess so. They're always the ones where I'm like, that was so stupid. Yeah. You know, that was so dumb. I was bored.
Well, and you said one of the things that's the worst thing that people do in relationships is the like, you don't have the stones to break it off. And so you just start like checking out and treating the person pretty poorly in hopes that like they'll end it or it'll just like that's even worse.
And I will say
that's terrible.
That's the worst I feel when someone does that to me.
Yeah.
But I also feel the worst about myself when I've done that to other people.
For sure. I think I've done it for sure.
That's what I mean. When you do that to somebody in the dating game where it's just like, you're starting to like reply to the text slower, just, you know, try to like kind of create that distance instead of just being open and honest. That's when you have that quiet moment. You go, I'm scum.
Yeah.
I'm a bad person. Like I'm not contributing to the world in a positive way. Anyways, what's next? Oh, yeah,
Kobe,
that's a good one.
Yeah, Kobe Bryant's locker is up for auction.
Yeah, it's expected
to get like, like over $1 million is what they are guessing it'll get.
Yeah.
I was wondering, generally, are we memorabilia guys in here? Do we got memorabilia? What's the nice piece of memorabilia?
What did you used to do? You used to work in a card shop?
Yeah, I used to work in a card shop.
Yeah, and you got your break on the Fan by being like the evaluator of sports memorabilia.
Overnights with Jeff Sanna.
Yeah, yeah. That's
fired up, 1 o'clock in the morning, open up the phone boards.
Like, hey, how much is this worth? Dan, how much is this card worth that no one can see? And you're like, well, Jeff.
The best call we ever got was like some old guy would be like, I was at this barbecue one time and somebody gave me a Jesse Owens autograph. And I'm like, well, that's worth a lot if it's actually real.
Dude, you were antique roadshow.
Yeah, I was. We were antique roadshow in the middle of the night.
Sports
the
old days that you couldn't see, though. It was sight unseen sports memorabilia antique roadshow. You just call and be like, Dan, if I have Jesse Owens' autograph, is it worth money? And you're like, yes.
I hated being the guy that had to break people's hearts and be like,
yeah, that's tough.
Yeah, I'm sorry, your 1989 Joe Sakic rookie card is worth absolutely nothing. So that's... I mean, those kinds of things, they're super unique. There's going to be enough Lakers fans and obviously enough people in LA with money that are going to spend a ton
on that,
to pay for Kobe's locker. Mm-hmm. So those kinds of things, when they're as unique as that, I mean, there's no telling what the price would be.
So I have a billion basketball and hockey cards that are in a tub in my basement, like just rotting. And they're all like protected because I grew up collecting cards like a lot of people my age. And I'm sure if I broke them down, like I got full years and full sets. I would never sell them, though. It's one of those things where I will just carry that tub until I die. I'm sure there's some with value, but I'm mostly sure that most of the things that I cherished, if I ever had to break them down, they'd be like, we'll give you 89 cents for that card. And I'm like, what? Scottie Pippen?
Yeah.
No, no way. The funniest memorabilia story I have, though, is so when my dad died, we had to clean out his place, right? Sucks. Horrible thing. But we're cleaning all the stuff, and he kept a lot of things from our childhood. And one of the things was my brother had Pokemon cards.
Nice.
Oh, man.
And we pull out these Pokemon cards, and we're kind of joking. You know, we've had a few drinks because that's how you're getting through that day. And We're like, I wonder if these have any value. We start Googling the cards and we're like, holy crap, these are expensive.
Yes.
And it becomes all of a sudden a thing where it's him and I, and he's like, well, these are mine. I was like, these are going into a fund. You know, these will be liquidated. You know, we're having like all of a sudden like a drunken fight over Pokemon cards that we found.
There's
in the
a
basement.
Charizard in here.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. We've got these cards and we're like, holy crap. And then it dawns on us that there's different editions of the cards yes. that get released. And we've just got the normal trash cards. Cards yeah. and then all of a sudden it's like, oh yeah, no, haha, everything was just a joke. You know? Oh, never mind. Yeah, put the Pokemon. Those Pokemon cards, I think, just got put in the garbage, like yeah. straight up, like, and nothing happened with them. But I was like, oh, that's how some. You know, when you meet families and they're like, no, my aunt and uncle had a fight over the estate.
Oh yeah,
and they don't speak. That was my brother and I with Pokemon. Yeah. Almost, we were almost that family where Charizard and Squirtle yeah. destroyed.
I haven't spoken to my brother in 30 years. Yeah. He tried to get that holographic yeah, exactly. Bulbasaur.
Oh my god, how could he? That was my Pikachu, and he knows it, and it's in his house in a case. it's representative of our fallen relationship.
We could have put a down payment on a house.
Yeah, it's over. Anyways, what's next?
Mattis Bouzelis said that Carmelo Anthony is the greatest scorer ever.
Okay.
Well, he was on
Good
the podcast.
Take, Mattis.
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing.
Kevin Durant play?
I love Carmelo Anthony.
Sure.
I grew up in Kingston. We all, like, my basketball teams used to go to Syracuse games all the time. I love
Carmelo.
Okay,
I was wondering where you're going with that, because I was like, yeah, he's not from there.
No. So, like, we used to, like, I've been to, like, probably a dozen Syracuse basketball
right,
games.
Yeah.
Love them. And I actually do think that he kind of went from overrated to then like criminally underrated. Cause like that mid-range game, he's such a good scorer. Mm. I love him. Who are some guys who like in general are underrated that you will always, that like have become underrated that you always will love?
The most underrated player in any sport ever and forever and ever and ever will always be Tim Duncan.
Yeah. Nice. Yeah.
For it's sure. just, it's the answer is Tim Duncan. People recognize the greatness, but they don't like, they think about Kevin Garnett, you know, from that era. They think about Kobe. They think about Shaq. He was just there, and he won all these championships. And people talk about, like, I have a lot of respect for Tony Parker and Manu Ginobili. Like, those were really great players. But the reason why they were able to turn, you know, an Argentinian guy from out of nowhere and a French guy from out of nowhere and why Greg Popovich essentially became Greg Popovich and hasn't won any titles didn't tell maybe he's going to get them now because of Wemby. Like, that guy was so great, Tim Duncan. Beat everyone. Steve Nash, two-time MVP, those fun Suns teams. Yay, Suns! Go, Suns, go! Tim Duncan ended you. You know, Tim Duncan won. All those Lakers teams, how come they didn't rip off like $1 billion? Because Tim Duncan was there and the Spurs were there. And they wore those gray. You know when there's an app on your phone or there's a setting on your phone where you can turn your phone to gray and it takes away the like serotonin dump
yeah.
where it helps you be less addicted to your phone? That's the Spurs jerseys. They're just gray. They got an ugly logo. They're not the sexiest team even from Texas, right? Tim Duncan was very quiet. He had nothing about him that was like particularly interesting. Even his game wasn't like at all sexy.
No.
But he just killed you every single night. He was the best player in the NBA for an incredibly long stretch. He was unquestionably better than Kobe Bryant. Like, there's not a soul on earth that can tell me that that's like... I saw Zach Lowe went viral because he...
Yeah, people got mad at him.
He was like, yeah, Tim Duncan's better than Kobe, and people lost their mind. I'm like, that was not even a debate before Kobe Bryant passed away.
Yeah.
Like, you had to be like a straight-up moron to be thinking that that was a more valuable player. Like, and... It doesn't matter that people acknowledge Tim Duncan's greatness. He's just still going to be the most underrated player, in my opinion, out of any sport of all time. No one has as much winning. No one has as much dominance. No one has longevity, especially as a big man. And people just like, remember Tim Duncan? They talk about him like, you know, he was Jameer Nelson. It's like, remember him? Like, yeah, no.
Well, he disappeared off the face of the earth, too. Like, that doesn't help his reputation and how we think of him playing for San Antonio as well. So there's 100 different ways you can go with most underrated player.
Yeah, for sure. I just, that's the one to me where I'm always like, I hate that he's not... Like,
yeah,
always brought up. Like when they're like Steph Curry's one of the 10 greatest players of all time or 5 greatest players of all time.
People never mention Tim Duncan.
Like, you're telling me you'd rather have Steph Curry in a must-win game than Tim Duncan?
Yeah.
You're out of your mind.
Like I can't remember where Tim Duncan is on that like greatest athletes of the, you know, 21st century that they did, which didn't even have Christine Sinclair on it, but whatever. but you know, like he should be ahead of Kobe on every one of these lists.
Yeah.
I always revert to Ray Bourque.
That's a good one, too.
Nice. Yeah.
Ray Bourque, you look at his numbers, and you're like, oh, my God.
Video game numbers, man. You go to his hockey reference page, you're like, what the hell? Why is this guy not thought of as, like, one of the greatest?
Yeah.
And maybe he
That's
is.
A great answer.
But like,
he is, to a certain era. But he was forgotten more quickly.
Overshadowed by Bobby Orr, right?
Yeah, and overshadowed
forever
by
forever being
the
a Bruin, and, like, he's never going to be, no matter what he did, it was like he was never going to be the greatest Bruins defenseman of all time because of Bobby Orr. And then, of course, you think on top of that, Nick Lidstrom won like 7 Norris trophies in the 2000s. So,
yeah, that's it.
And Ray Bourque's just there is like, have you ever seen my numbers?
Dude, the other part of this too, we got to go, is because when I last interviewed Ray Bourque, kind of asked him about it. He was in the time where they were giving Norris's out to defensive defensemen. Mm. And you look at some of the stats, the years that he had versus the guys who won the Norris, and it's
stupid.
Like, it's embarrassing. Anyway, subscribe to this podcast, follow on Twitter and Instagram @JD Bunkus. Thanks for listening. Thanks for watching. Have a great weekend, everybody.